is already here with us. We are so grateful. We do not take it for granted. We come, Lord, under the covering of the Father's, come to ask for fresh mercy. I come as one under authority, having authority, and I humble myself, Lord, asking for fresh mercy. Mercy to bring forth this word as a word in season, a word to bless the people of God. Thank you, O Lord, because you have mercy upon weaknesses, my infirmities. I strip myself afresh of every confidence I might have and anything I know, any knowledge I may have, what I prepared, none of that matters now. I ask for fresh mercy. Mercy to be a faithful steward of this word. As I speak, Lord, you help me to speak as an oracle of God. And Lord, you help me to speak, to be concise, to be precise, helping us to say anything that is unnecessary, bringing forth from out of the treasure of your word things both old and new, as a scribe that has been instructed unto the kingdom in the name of Jesus. As I speak, Lord, let my words go for the accuracy, the great power, in simplicity, yet in the love and the comfort of your spirit, doing an eternal, internal work in every heart and life of all those who hear it locally and those who hear by remote means, myself included, Lord, that this word will be spirit and will life and will encourage, will enlighten, will strengthen, and will give us, Lord God, the ability to go on into the fullness of your purposes in Christ Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Help me, Lord, not to say anything unnecessary, to redeem the time, to speak only what you would have me say, bringing forth out of the treasure of your word things both old and new, as a scribe instructed into the kingdom. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for the covering of my fathers and the prayers that you have said on my behalf as we go into this word of prayer. Let this word also bring refreshing and gladness and joy to their hearts. We give you thanks ahead of time because you are faithful and you will do more than we can ask or think. By your mercy, grace, by your faithfulness and help, in Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Please, let's be seated. I want to thank God again before I go any further, say another word. Thank God again for the wonderful privilege to stand at this hallowed pulpit, this pulpit that has been tried and tested and been found to be faithful all these years, like Pastor D was preaching earlier on. It's a great privilege, and I never will take it for granted. I want to thank Pastor Mummy for the years of ministry, years of watching over the Word of God in this house to bring it to pass. We all are beneficiaries, and I want to thank God for the lives, the years of exceptional ministry which they have demonstrated here. And so I thank God for the privilege to come and bring this word here, and I trust Mummy, Pastor Mummy, as you hear this word, it will be in pleasure and bring rejoicing to your souls also. But also to all of you, my brethren, who are here also, I trust that as we go through this word together, the Lord will have mercy on me and us all. Amen. Amen. I've titled this word, Victory Through Tribulation. And the reasons that we've been hearing about tribulation and overcoming for the past couple of weeks, Pastor here preached one very powerful message last week, and I, by the grace of God also, have done one earlier before that. But the essence of that is, folks, the Bible says through much tribulation we enter the kingdom and the dominion of God's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit over our lives. But we are not to be moved. We are not to be afraid. God is on our side. We are on the winning side. Amen? And we're going to overcome every obstacle and stand perfect and complete in all the will of God in this day of God's showing. I believe the Lord gave me a message. Well, part of it was from Pastor sharing with us. And then also the Lord amplified one or two things. Let's start the message right quick. We're going to start again, as we did the last time, in Acts chapter 14, verse 22. Amen? Acts 14, 22. Where am I? Okay. Now, this is Apostle Paul talking after his first missionary journey on the way back. He went back from place to place, and he says this. He says, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we, I include you and I after all those 100 years, amen, we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Give me this in the Amplified, yes. Amplified, AMPC, yes. Establishing and strengthening the souls and the hearts of the disciples, urging and warning and encouraging. This is a word of encouragement, folks. Amen. To stand firm in the faith and telling them that it is through many hardships and tribulations we must, tell me, must enter the kingdom of God. Amen? The message version I wrote to you here, because it's a very unusual kind of delivery. It says, anyone signing up for the kingdom of God has to go through plenty of hard times. But let me tell you, folks, God is with us every step into the way. Pastor Day also preached, as recently as last Sunday, as I mentioned, on this particular topic. Amen? It's true, we cannot minimize the importance of the work of the chastening adversity that comes through tribulation. I believe, beloved, that the truth is that this nature, this innate, I call it satanic nature, it's true actually, this devil's nature inherited by all of us, every human being, is by the fall of Adam, until we learn to fully dominate it and flush it out by using the blood, the word, the power of the Holy Spirit and overcome it. There's some things that we will not enter into. We will enter the fullness of our divine destinies in Jesus' name. And that's why I believe the Lord is having us repeat and say these things over and over again. And I trust as we speak this morning, more information will be given unto us and we'll see that truly we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Amen. The Lord Jesus said in John 16:33, give me that. This is the essence of this message. Hello? John 16:33. John 16:33. Thank you. These things have I, Lord Jesus speaking, but I'm saying the same thing. Have I spoken to you that in him, or in me, the Lord Jesus says, you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but, and that last verse, that part of the verse I want to bring up, but be of good cheer. I, Lord Jesus, has overcome the world. Amen. The message of the day is that we bring the word that all that is in the world, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, and all these things that we talk about, the Lord Jesus has overcome them. Amen? And we are going to be victors. The world is passing away, you know. You don't know. Okay. Give me 1 John chapter 2, 16. 1 John 2, 16. These should be familiar scriptures. I'm just, you know, rolling through them. 1 John 2, 16 and verse 17. It says, for all that is in the world, and he defines the world as the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Next verse is the punchline. And the world, what? Passes away, and the lust of, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Amen. We are going to do the will of God. And so with him we'll live forever. Amen. And the world is passing away, folks. Just look at what's going on in the earth. You know that it's only a matter of time before Jesus comes. And it's not that long anyway. So let's continue. Now, I want to take us to the book of Luke, chapter 21, and verse 25. We'll start there and read into verse 27. Because this is where we are now. There shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon earth, distress of nations. That's clearly been what's going on. With perplexity, nobody knows what exactly is going on. Everybody said, do you know what's going on? Do you know what? Nobody knows. The only person that knows what's going on is those who are listening to the trumpet of the voice of God in the body of Christ. We, by the grace of God, and others like us, who are watching and listening, you know, waiting for, and sitting down and hearing words of the kingdom are the only people that know what's going on. Everybody else is afraid. Everybody else is unsure. But you are not like that. You know what's going on. I know what's going on. Because it's preached by the grace of God every Sunday, somehow or the other, or you know, has been preached for years, so that we are all cognizant of where we are spiritually in the earth. Said in the world, upon the earth, distress of nations, we're saying, with perplexity, the sea, and it's not like water there, it's talking about the sea of humanity, the waves, they're roaring. Amen? Amen? Next verse, verse 26. Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming upon earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Verse 27. Hello? And then, this is what we're waiting for. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Hallelujah. Cloud. Clouds of apostolic power and glory. Zechariah 10. Give me Zechariah 10, 1. Quickly. Let's rush through this. Zechariah 10, verse 1. Amen? Zechariah 10, 1. Okay. Ask ye the Lord the rain in the time of the latter rain. We're in that time. So the Lord shall make what? Bright clouds and give them showers of rain to everyone grass in the field. That rain is a rain of God's doctrine. Ask the Lord for rain in the time of that rain. Lord, make bright. Bright days, not just talking about the glory. Glory, apostolic crowds, and give them showers of rain. Rain is doctrine. Hello? Deuteronomy chapter 32 and said, my doctrine shall drop as a rain to everyone, grass in a field. Give me verse 2. Zechariah chapter 10, verse 2. This is why it's going to happen. 10:2. Okay, this is 10:1. Ask you the Lord rain in time. That rain. No, there's no. I think I've gotten. Is it Deuteronomy? No. It said, because I will publish the name, the character of God. Anyway, that's not the issue. I must have made a mistake on that. I wrote it down like that. Anyway, but this is happening all before us now. Our eyes and ears, we're seeing and hearing things that are going on in the world. And it's amazing how the scripture is being fulfilled before our eyes as we are admonished. So when we see these things not just pass, but begin to come to pass, we lift up our heads because our redemption is growing up now, draweth nigh. Amen? But let's back up a bit. I want to thank God again for the measurable contribution of Father. There's nobody who can thank me too much. By precept and example, giving us an understanding of enduring and overcoming tribulation, their lives are living testaments of the same. They won't tell you. They won't let you know. They will just go through it. But you know by the virtue of the fact that God is using them so wonderfully, marvelously, revelation knowledge, and the testimonies of their lives that we see before our eyes. There's so much they don't tell us, but we see. We can see. Amen? How and what it means to endure, to overcome tribulation and enter into the rest of God. Now, Mommy and Pastor, I pray that your rest will be totally true, truly complete. Amen? Your day of rest and fulfillment has come. Amen? Amen. Now, Pastor was sharing with us recently and enlightening us about the true essence, the meaning of this thing called tribulation. Amen? Pastor, like the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, were himself who gave us a promise that even though we should have trouble in this world, we should be of good cheer because he has overcome all tribulation. And just like he did, we are also destined to overcome that tribulation. And we learn from Lord Jesus Christ the essence of tribulation is not to be overcome. We experience the tribulation. No, folks, don't be afraid of tribulation. It's sent to perfect you. Oh, my goodness. 1 week, amen. All this, I was listening to something online, I think it was yesterday or the day before, said there's nothing that can happen to you that God did not allow. He's got you. He's got you in his hands. He says his eyes are upon you 24/7. Nothing is happening in your life. Now, he will not have done it, but he would have allowed it for a purpose. And as he's allowing it, he's watching over his word concerning you to see that it does not overcome you. That's why he can say boldly that you're more than conquerors. He knows the end from the beginning, folks. So don't be afraid. Tribulation should be something that tell the devil, shoot your best shot. I have a God who is more than able. Oh, glory to God. But yes, it's to be overcome tribulation like he did. Amen? We experience it. We're not to be overcome by it. You can say, but Jesus had no sin. Oh, yeah, true. He didn't experience what we're going through. Yes. But true, he had no sins. But like Pastor always pointed out, he had no blood to cleanse sin. You don't understand what's going on. He had no plan B. For 33 years he was here. He had to live a perfect, sinless life. Not one mistake. Nothing could have happened that he would cause him to go against the will and the word of God. 33 years! Tempted in all points, as we are. And yet, without one sin. No, not even when he was a child. He didn't say anything wrong. He didn't do anything. Are you beginning to get what I'm talking about? It's an awesome thing. There was no back. There was no way back. He was there. Not one sin. Get this. Not in word. Not in thought. Hello, you know, some things are in your thoughts. Nobody sees it. But he couldn't even allow that luxury. Not a luxury. That he couldn't even allow his thought life. Because that thought, there was a, got him. Folks, 33 years and not one sin. Give the Lord a clap offering. Not one. flawless. Flashed in scripture, flashed into my mind. In the book of Job, it says, not like man that drinketh iniquity like water. So how did the Lord do this? He made the perfect, correct choice in every instance of temptation. Not even sin once in throughout his childhood. And he had a normal childhood, though. Normal. He was a normal person. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been, you know, a one-to-one, you know, correction. He wouldn't have been able to do all the things he did because he would not be an example of a proper human being. So all the pressures that come against us daily had to be allowed to come against him. But he overcame everything. Oh, Lord have mercy. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, we all know the story where the whole of creation was hanging in the balance. I'm sure the angels just have been standing still in heaven. Everybody just waiting. Father, if this might pass from me, please let it. Everybody stood still. But nevertheless, not my will, but that will be done. And who does that? He's passed. Oh, glory, hallelujah. Oh, God. You know, and I'd say it's amazing how, you know, things come when you're doing study. I saw that the Garden of Eden, it calls it the place of pleasure and delight. That's what Eden means, pleasure and delight. Adam lost it in a place of pleasure and delight. All that Adam lost, because God was a good God. Showed him, wanted to make his life a total pleasure. It's still going to happen, though. He's still going to restore all that to us. Amen? Wanted to make his life a time of pleasure and delight, but he lost it. And the Lord Jesus had to go to a place called Gethsemane. Gethsemane means the place of the pressing of the seed. He was pressed. 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 What the first man lost at the place of pleasure and delight was restored in tribulation in the place of the pressing of the seed. And that's why we have to go through where we're going. We too, like Jesus, the Lord Jesus, everything is our pattern example. We're going to be pressed, but he's going to be there with us in all the tribulation. Amen? Amen? Pressed like the seed to bring forth the fruit of perfect obedience and righteousness like he did. And so the essence of this message is to encourage us, folks, to inform us that while we must go through much tribulation and persecution, God's purpose, God's object is not to allow us to be overcome, but to endure in all that tribulation and then overcome it. And the Bible says, be of good cheer, because the Lord has overcome the world. We've got many examples in the scriptures of those who have experienced and endured and have overcome tribulation. We see them in, I think it's Hebrews chapter 11, the heroes of faith, amen? Amen. That book is not there, that chapter is not there for decoration. It's there to encourage us. It's there to show you from different aspects of life, different paths of walking, or walks in life, how they overcame. And it's to act as an encouragement to us, but if he can do it, even Samson is there. With all his terrible things that he did, he's there. We have it as a witness of the faithfulness of God for those who stand with him in faith. It says all these died in faith, not having received the promise. But they had perceived something afar off. And they confessed they were strangers and pilgrims upon the earth because they saw by revelation what God is doing. Folks, let's see by revelation where God is taking us. Let's see not with the eyes of flesh, not with the ears of man, see with the eye of the Spirit where God is taking us into. Amen? Amen. So, let me just go to this. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, thank you, Lord. Now, there's some characters in the scriptures who use faith to overcome much tribulation, much persecution. Amen? But there are three particular scriptures that I want to focus in, you know, now. Three scriptures, Messianic scriptures, the Lord Jesus Christ himself used it as a precursor to what I'm going to say later on. Psalms 119. All of these are Psalms 119. Psalms 119, give me verse 67, please. Verse 67. Three things. Keeping the word, learning statutes, and enduring faithfulness, affliction. Psalms 119, 67. What is it? Yes. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But said now, Now I have kept thy word. In other words, to keep the word, you need some affliction. Folks, you will never, ever keep the word if you're not afflicted, because the sin nature is there. That affliction will wake you up. That, something's going on here. Amen? I used to wonder about this verse when I was a much younger Christian. How can God be afflicting to... Yeah, I mean, just tell us, we do it now. It's not like that. So you need to keep the word. Amen? Next one. Psalms 119:71. It is good. Tell everybody it's good. It is good for me that I have been afflicted. Why? That I might learn thy statutes. Again, the corollary there is that without affliction, you not learn God's word. Everybody's looking at me funny. When is it, let's just take an example. When is it most important, most producing go to the word of God? When is it prophecy or about delay? Like we say in Yoruba land. When things happen, and I say, Lord, what are we going to do about all this? Then some will go to Woli, but some will go into the Bible and say, Lord, what's happening? What am I to do in this situation? Then you see fasting and praying and all that. That should be a daily thing. That should be something you do all the time, not when in time of, now you can do it in time of tribulation, but that's not the spur to go into the Word. The Word should be a daily, consistent thing. Amen? Spend time in the Word. That I may learn, that we may learn His statutes. Then Psalms 119:75, first scripture, 3 is the number of perfection. In faithfulness, it says, I know, Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou So when you're going through affliction that the Lord allows, God is being faithful to you. And it's a mindset shift. When I saw it, the Lord brought it to my mind, I said, but this is it. But there's a goal and a purpose for this. Psalms 119:133, quickly. 119:133. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Dominion, perfection. This is the essence of all those things. So, in other words, you keep the word, you learn his statutes and his judgments, that you may have your steps ordered in the word, so iniquity will not have dominion. This is the goal. Jesus is the pattern. He overcame, like he says, and we also will overcome in Jesus' name. Amen. I wrote here Hebrews 12:6. Let's look there. I think, give me Hebrews 12:6-7. Hello. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Hebrews 12:6-7. Yeah. Whom the Lord loveth. How many people believe God loves you? He chasteneth and he scourges every son. No exceptions, including the Lord Jesus. Hello? Who came as a propitiation for our sins. Every son whom receiveth. Next verse. Verse 7. Now, if you endure chasing, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chases not? Now, jump from there to verse, 11. 11. From verse 11. Now, no chasing for the present seemeth to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards. In other words, when you're going through chasing, you're looking for what's happening at that moment. Looking to the afterwards, the fruit, the afterwards. Afterwards, it yielded the peaceable fruit of righteousness to them who allow themselves to be exercised thereby. I believe I'm led again to refer to an experience of Apostle Paul here. Amen? Pastor shared with us at length after some of our, during some of our discussions, Paul's experience that was so vividly recorded in Scripture. Amen? Give me, 2 Corinthians 11:22. 2 Corinthians 11:22, we're running through verse 28. Look at Paul. This is Apostle Paul. He's, giving his credentials because people are boasting. And he will say, okay, I too can boast, although I'm doing it stupidly. He doesn't want to, but he does because he wants to show that, look, I'm a Hebrew like you. I'm an Israelite. Amen. I'm also a slave man. What I'm doing, you're supposed to be doing also. Amen. Next verse. Next verse. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak to the full, I must hold. Now, this is where we're going. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths often. Next verse. Of the Jews, I received stripes 5 times. I received 40 stripes, save one. Next verse. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. All these tribulations Paul suffered. Amen. All these tribulations. Suffered a night and day indeed. Next verse, verse 26. In journeys often perils waters, perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by him, peril, false brethren. Next verse. See, this is what I'm saying. Apostle Paul went through all this. And the scripture was recording it so that we will not be chased, so we will not feel, as if we're doing God a favor. Or as if God is overdoing it, as when we in our own sphere. God, why are you doing this now? You know, we have that tendency. We don't say it, but we say, God, why am I going through all this? Hello? Nobody has ever done that before. Everybody's silent. But this essence is this. Paul went through all this, and he penned it down for us to know that there is a price to become perfect in Christ Jesus. Amen? Paul himself was what I call a special purpose vehicle. Amen? God raised him to compile the New Testament. The pastor calls him the pattern disciple. Amen? Because of the abundance of the revelation he had, and that's why he had to endure such a fierce contention from the forces of darkness. So he will not be able to pen down that New Testament that God wanted to want him to do. So he went through all kinds of tribulation. Says because of the abundance of revelation, all these things were happening to him. Amen? Now, I don't know about you, but I find out that in every one of these instances, the only solution to tribulation and affliction is humility. Like Paul. He had to humble himself. He had to humble himself. Seek God with more fervency in humility. Look at it says, give me 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. Quickly, please. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7. The key to it. Says, lest I should be exalted above measure through the what? Abundance of revelation. I mean, what abundance of revelation? Three of us? Okay, all right. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Next verse. For though I would desire to go, I shall not be a fool, but I will say the truth. Now I forbear, lest any man should think of me that which is... give me verse 7. Okay, verse 8. Give me verse 8. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. Next verse. And he said unto me, and he's saying unto all of us too. Says what? My grace is sufficient for you. Boyega, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Amen? Brother Tunji, my strength is made perfect. Therefore, rather glory in your infirmities so that the power of Christ may rest upon you. Folks, I don't know what else to say. Give me that verse 10 in Amplified. I don't know what's... Give me verse 10. Give me verse 10 first of all. Give me the Amplified. Amplified. Oh, glory to God. Give me the Amplified. So, folks, for the sake of Christ, I am... When I read this, I said, Lord, what are you saying? So I am well pleased and take pleasure in infirmities, in insults, in hardships, endure hardness as a good soldier of Christ. Are we getting it here? Persecutions, perplexities, and distress. For when I am weak in human strength, oh, glory to God, then am I truly strong, able, powerful in divine strength. When you acknowledge and understand and recognize your weakness, then God's divine strength comes. And he strengthens you in that tribulation to give us the victory. Amen? Amen. That's it for you. The Lord Jesus said it this way. This is a more genteel version, but nonetheless powerful. Give me Matthew 11, 28. You're very familiar with Matthew 11, 28. Matthew 11, 28. Thank you. Come to me. No, I don't want to. Just give me the regular KJV. Thank you. It's the same. Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. There's rest in no other place. Look what it says. Next verse. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I am meek and lowly heart, and ye shall find rest. So that's all. Labor here is not just in prayer, but labor when you're in adversity. Prayer, in persecution, in affliction of any sort. Amen? The key here is meekness, or what we call teachableness, from which comes forth a humble heart disposition. Amen? And Apostle Paul had to learn all this. But the thing is that he had the victory over it. We all know what happened to him. He had the victory, even though he was, you know, tailed about by a messenger of Satan. But he reached Rome, as was his destiny, and he lived his own hired house. The Bible says, no man troubling him. We will get there, folks. We're going to get to that point where you are going to live in peace, no contention, nothing, no devil, no man troubling you and I. That's where God is taking us to. That's where we are going. And we have this promise from the Lord. Let's give you this 1 Peter chapter 5 in verse 10. Now, I'm going to read it in KJV, but I also want you to prepare the Passion Version, TPT. 1 Peter chapter 5, 10. But the God of all grace. Oh, something just hit me. Thank you, Pastor. Oh, but the God of all grace. Grace is not available anywhere else except in Christ Jesus. And that grace is your sufficient. That grace is our ticket to the fullness of Christ and the manifestation of the glory. Amen. The God of all grace who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. When? No. During? After? After that you have suffered a while? A while? That was just a few years. Can you imagine hundreds and thousands of years of eternity that you're suffering a little bit for and you're grumbling? You will not grumble in Jesus' name. But look at the magnitude of the suffering in comparison to the magnitude of the reward in it throughout eternity. Inconsequential. Inconsequential. What is it? Light. Thank you. Light. Light. In comparison with all the God, one of the things God has prepared for you is in eternity, forever and ever and ever and ever, never to end. After that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and what? Settle. Every Nigerian understands that one. Well, I said to there. We all know that. Give me this in TPT, please. Something that I wrote there. I said, make sure you put Passion Version, TPT, the Passion Version. Do we have it? Oh, my goodness. Oh, Lord, Lord. We don't have it, the Passion Version. Maybe somebody can get it for me. I don't know if I don't have my phone here. Oh, I do have it. Someone can get it for me. I think we need to read it. This is the promise you have, so that after we have suffered a while, Lord, not forever, not even much, or always, suffered a while, not always, a while, not always, not much, in comparison with what God is going to do. He says, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Oh, praise God. I wrote the TPT version here. Let me read it for you. It's going to block. This is going to really get you. You'll get the picture. Help me, Lord. The Passion says, and then after your brief, is it on the board? No, okay. After your brief suffering, God will, check this out, personally and powerfully. Oh, glory. When I read our screen, I said, Lord, wow. God takes it personally. He makes it a personal obligation after you have done all this. It's a brief time. He takes a personal interest to personally and powerfully restore you and make you what? Stronger than ever. Yes, he will set you firmly in place. No shaking. And build you up. I like that. I like that. I like that version. That to me was like, I think that's why I wrote it down. Hallelujah. God will take an interest after your brief suffering. Brief in the light of eternity. What is it? What a few years in the light of a millennium or millenniums? Forever. Lord, give us understanding. So how do we overcome tribulation and affliction? Let me continue. Help you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I went to check out that word tribulation. I'm a study of English language. And it says it means a cause of great trouble or suffering, anxiety or worry. And persecution is like this hostility, persecution is hostility and ill treatment, particularly on the basis of ethnicity, religious, or political beliefs. Other words for that include victimization, persistence. Now, so you can say that tribulation has persecution inheritance. So how do we do this? How do we overcome this? Again, thank God for the fathers of the house, Pastor Me. Thank you. I really appreciate all your love, all your teachings, all the years. Particularly your example of patience in overcoming tribulation and affliction. You know, I know we don't know the half of it. The little piece that God has allowed us to see, we are amazed. By the grace, I was amazed. And I said, you don't even know they're going through it. Until they now tell you, say, you did all that while you were going through that? I don't want to give you examples. God help us. Thank God for the fathers we have. Let's give a clap of praise to the fathers. Amen? Amen. And all that, their faith has not weakened. They have not lost. It doesn't matter what they're facing. Amen? You won't see it on their face. So. Thank you, sir. Thank you. We're learning from you, following after. Lord, have mercy upon us, have children to emulate the fathers that God has set, the poplars God has set for us. Emulate and fashion ourselves to the Christ that is in them. Amen? So I want to point out, while many of us at this material time are experiencing difficulties, all of us know what's going on in our lives, particularly in our beloved nation. We're seeing the things turn around, but we're still having some, you know, small hindrances and difficulties here and there. Amen? And that's because of the current challenges and distortions that, you know, the enemy has, you know, created in our nation. But we want to say thank God, because there will come a time when the perfected sons of God will be made manifest in this land. Amen? Perfected in the love of God, like the Lord Jesus was in his ministry. Amen? And folks, we're going to take over this nation. Oh, glory. I'm looking for that day when Nigerian Christians will be in most positions of authority. There are very few there now, but we are coming. We are coming. And it's going to be a mighty transformation we'll see. We're going to see it. It's going to be all in our lifetimes. Amen? So this is what's coming. I think I read this before. Yes, for this purpose, the Son of God manifested, and not for any other purpose. Amen. Okay. So now, how do we endure in tribulation? Well, Hebrews says it very well. Hebrews 11, 26, 27. Help me, Lord. How do we endure? Hebrews 11, 26, 27 says, Okay, next verse. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. This is talking about Moses now. For he endured as what? Now, this is it. Thank you. As seeing him who is invisible. Seeing him who is he's invisible. But somehow, by faith in your mind, in your experience, in your thoughts, you are seeing him. You begin to have an understanding of what he's trying to do in you and through you. Like Moses saw God by faith until he saw him at the burning bush. Choosing, he said, to suffer affliction with the people of God than the pleasures of sin for even a season. Folks, we have to make that choice. It's not a choice you can vacillate between. Hello? Bible says, having put your hand to the plow, who looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. And truth be told, folks, the pleasures of sin last only for a season. But the pleasures that God gives are eternal, everlasting. Am I making my point? 1 Peter chapter 5 says, making you what you ought to be, that is, sons of God in a perverse and crooked world as shining lights. 1 Peter 5:10. Give it to me and amplify. 1 Peter 5:10. I think I just read it. Oh, glory to God. Folks, we have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful future. And that future is upon us now. Is it Philippians? Yes. Oh, sorry. Give me the amplifier. Yes, thank you. 2:14. Forgive me. Making you, yes. After yourself about the God of all grace who imparts all blessing and favor, who has called you to his own eternal. He has called you to his own eternal glory in Christ. He will himself. And if he does it, who can undo? Satan? What is Satan going to do against the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords when he says, so be it in your life? Himself will complete and make you what you ought to be. And he now tells you what you're supposed to be. Establish and ground you securely and strengthen and settle you. Finish. Folks, I don't know. This is what I'm looking for. Say Jesus himself, he was, the space he was said, you know, that he was going to one day, he's going to rise up and he's going to take, as a supper, I can't remember the exact scripture, but he's going to rise up and say, he'll come and minister to those of his people. Minister himself. Put on his, and he did it. He did it. He took a towel upon himself and he washed the feet of all his disciples, except for Peter, big Peter. One day, you know what? If I don't wash you, you have no part with me. This is what he's talking about. He himself will complete and make you what you ought to be and establish, ground us securely. Look at those words. And strengthen and settle you. Folks, we got it made. Okay, let's go. So we must and ought to endure tribulation and afflictions until it all ends. The Bible says, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. How? Now, this is the key. Romans 12:12. How? One, rejoice in hope. Romans 12:12. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Romans 12. Rejoicing in hope. Yeah, I know. I wanted to put it up on the phone. Rejoicing in hope. Bible says, Christ in and among us is the hope of glory. Hope of what? Hope of the glory of God. Yes, sir. Rejoicing in hope. Patient. Being patient, consistent in tribulation. Amen. Instant in prayer. Amen. Next, verse 2, yes. Give me James 1, chapter 2, 4. It says, count it all joy. James chapter 1, 2, 4. Just block into that. It says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations and trials. Next verse. Knowing this. This is what God is, and I'm trying to get it through too. At the risk of mercy of God. Knowing this, that the trial of faith worketh patience. Now, patience doesn't mean standing in one place. It means consistency. Means continuing to do what you've been instructed to do in order to obtain that victory over whatever blockage is standing in your way from getting to the fullness of Christ. Patient! Said, carry your joy, knowing that the trial of the faith work in patience, consistency. He says, let patience have her perfect work. Her perfect work. That you may be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. I don't know if these scriptures inspire you, folks. Can you imagine getting to a point where God signs off on you as you are now perfect? You are now entire. You want nothing. You lack nothing in your spiritual arsenal. That's what he's talking about. It's not about Nara and Kobo. Well, that's part of it. But it's talking about your spiritual makeup. Lacking nothing. Perfect, entire, just like him. Just like him. An entire wanting nothing. Now let's go to number, what's the second one? Being patient. Let's go to the verse 3, the third one. Continue instant in prayer. I wrote that here too. Continue instant. Next verse. Where it says, continue instant in prayer. Romans 12:12. Romans 12:12. Thank you. Rejoice your patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. The Amplified. Give me this in Amplified. Amplified on this. Be constant in prayer. Constant in prayer means you are steadfast, constantly in prayer, and constantly rejoicing in the hope, steadfast and patient in distress, devoted to prayer. I don't know whether version that is, but this is the one I wrote down. Constant rejoicing, steadfast and patient in distress, devoted to prayer, continually seeking wisdom, guidance, and strength. I don't know which translation. I wrote it from somewhere. I didn't get it off my head. Is there? Okay, there it is. Oh, Amplified, yes. Constant rejoicing because of your confidence in Christ, steadfast, patient in distress. Consistent. Patience doesn't mean waiting for it to pass. Patience means patience in distress, patiently overcoming that distress. How? By being devoted to prayer, continually seeking from God wisdom, guidance and strength to break through. That's a real breakthrough, folks. Oh, have mercy. But we have to understand that it's true that all these things will come against us, but we're going to prevail over them. Now, okay, now, so, let me see where we're now. Yes, thank you, Jesus. So, Paul, now let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6 and 11. Give me the Amplified. This is Apostle Paul, as he sought the Lord. 2 Corinthians 4, he says, "For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, is the one who has shone in our hearts." Now, this is it. Light, there being revelation of God. "To give us a revelation of the glory of God, the majesty of God, clearly revealed in the face of Jesus Christ." Next verse, verse 7. "But we have this treasure, this precious treasure, the good news about salvation in unworthy earthen vessels of human frailty." Why? "So that the grandeur and the surpassing greatness of the power will be shown to be from God, His sufficiency, and not from ourselves." Oh, folks, when I read it, I said, "Lord, you have done wonderfully." You know, he said that, "Why, you're going through all this so I can demonstrate to you the kind of power that I'm going to give you that overcomes anything you could have imagined or thought hitherto." Look what it says. "The surpassing greatness of the power is shown to be demonstrated by miracles, signs, and wonders, shown to be from His sufficiency and not of ourselves." Folks, get out of the way. Let God move. Get out of the way. Mercy, Lord. But we do this by increasing our humility. Amen? God gives you grace to the humble. Okay, let's now go. "So we're not to lose hope. We're not to give up when tribulation or persecution has come. Rather, we should count it all joy." Why? Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. So when we count it joy, we don't fumble because we know there's something ahead. So you keep pressing on in joy, persevering in tribulation, in affliction. Amen? "And the joy of the Lord will give us the strength to continue and to overcome all and to stand perfect, entire, wanting nothing." Amen? This is available, folks. This is available. And many of us who are practicing by the grace of God already on a daily basis under the covering of fathers and good morning Jesus, we know that this thing is possible. We can see it in the distance. When you pray and it comes to pass, not just in the nation, your own personal life. You see God moving sovereignly in your circumstances, your lives, your home, your family, your workplace, lifting you up, causing them to know, "This is my beloved son, and he's well pleasing to me." Folks, learn, practice these things. We invite all of us who want to join us by the grace of us every morning at 4 or 5 o'clock. Good morning, Jesus, under the covering of the fathers, to be able to practice all these things. Amen. Prayer, the word, opening up your heart, opening up the heavens, declaring, speaking the word of God, and going on all day, watching and praying always throughout the entire day. It's possible. It's available. People are doing it, and their results coming forth. Amen? All right. Let's continue. Now, I want to jump a little bit to some people who are those who overcame tribulation by faith. Again, it was Pastor that shared this with us, so I want to give all the glory to God and to thank Him for opening our eyes to see this. Tribulation, he says, is not something that should last interminably if we are doing the right things. And I agree. Don't you? Tribulation should only last, he said, for a short while. Brief tribulation. Amen? The key there is humility and diligence in the word and prayer under covering. Yes, trials will come, but each time it comes, we are to be more than conquerors and to overcome them. Amen? So tribulation and trials only last for a while. We ourselves, by the grace and mercy of God, receive the necessary, sufficient grace and the mercy and the wisdom to overcome it. Amen? Or if there been a tribulation or a trial or testing. Amen? We've already spoken about Paul. So we know Paul is a pattern disciple. Amen? Or the pattern, yes, the pattern disciple. Now, we're going to look at three people. prisoner of perfection. There are others, many others. So the pantheon of Hebrews 11 is full. We're going to take three. Job. Number one is Job. Amen. We all know Job. Job was afflicted. Terrible tribulation. He was really, really afflicted. He lost all his children in one day. This will not happen to any of us. All in one day. Even though, give me Job 1:8. God tested to him. I tested this first. He's a perfect man and upright. He fears God and eschews all evil. Job chapter 1:8. And Lord said, Satan has now considered my sin. It was God that brought Satan's attention to it. Now, why did God do this? And then he put the pastor taught us. The reason why he did this was so that Satan would not discover it of himself and kill Job. So God showed Job what was going on so that he would be able to exact a price for his allowing Satan to attack Job, which was the price of his life. Save his life by showing this. Sometimes God reveals things to the enemy in order to save your life. It might sound funny, but it's the truth. He said, let him go through the tribulation. As long as he doesn't die, he still has a chance of making it to the fullness of Christ. So sometimes your tribulation is because God's been bragging on you, like Papa Ralph 7 years ago. God's been bragging. You see my servant, Pastor William? There's none like him in all the earth. And they just said, Lord, let me not sift you. Let me sift you. Let me try him out. I said, go ahead. It's your hand. But all the while, God was backing Job. Was backing him. Amen. So it says, a perfect and upright man that fears God is choosing evil. What a testimony. Well, Job was, sadly, was continually observing physical ceremony, burnt offerings, not spiritual law. And all this was in vain when it came to the time for the chips to fall. One day, his children, his livestock, children died, his livestock was stolen. Fire came from God forbid, this will not happen to any of us. Lightning came from heaven to burn his entire house. Calamitous events in one day. But this is what, now, this shows me, and it's an example for us, that Job was a good man. Look what he said after all this happened. When I read, I said, Lord, give me this kind of heart, so that no matter what comes, you'll never shake. Job chapter 1:22. Oh, I hope we're getting something out of this. We're going to finish soon. In all this, can you imagine? Your children are gone. God forbid. You've not your children. His children are gone. His flocks have been stolen. No more. You know, those days, that was his wealth. His wealth has been decimated completely. His house was burned down by lightning. That will not happen to anybody I know. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. That's what God saw in his heart. I've got to protect this guy. I got to keep him. He didn't see with his mouth, though. Again, that was circumstantial. Now, the enemy came down personally. From head to toe, this will not happen to anyone, filled him with boils. You know what boil is? Putrescence. His whole body was covered with sore boils. Job 2:7. But still, Job did not sin with his mouth. Are you getting what I'm saying here? Trials and tribulations will come, but remain steadfast, unmovable, unshaken, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Amen? Said, still Job did not sin with his mouth, nor charge God foolishly. Amen? Okay. His friends came. They accused him, having sinned. Blah, 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 you, Job, you did this. Well, this did not happen to you except something. You did. You must have. You can't fool us. But Job said, no, I did nothing. I did nothing. He kept on, you know, standing up for himself until God himself spoke, rebuked him. Job 42:3. This was his answer. And this should be our own answer too in any tribulation. Job 42:3. Job 42:3. Therefore I have uttered that I understood not. Where is it? Oh, is it right? Who is he that hath counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, nor things too wonderful for me which I knew not. next verse. Here I beseech you, I will speak, I will demand of you. No. There's something wrong here. He's replying to the Lord. He said, I have uttered under things that are too wonderful that I knew not. He says, therefore I repent in sackcloth and ashes. Amen. Verse 6, thank you. Yes, say, wherefore I abhor myself and I repent in dust and ashes. There's a part that says that he sees him with his eye now. That's what I'm looking for. Verse 5, thank you, Sister. Verse 5, now this is where I'm going. I have heard of he hitherto by the hearing of the ear. You know, it's the only one people have been telling me about you before I've heard. Second hand. No, it's good to have that. But look what is most important. It says, but now my eye see you. Revelation. And it's that revelation that will make us stand for you. You can hear it all about Lord Jesus. And it's okay. You can go to a place where they preach, where they talk about Lord Jesus. But what stands you in the time of affliction and persecution is revelation. That you yourself have plumbed for yourself. You know, you can have revelation from other people. Yes, oh, you agree. But you have to go there. That's why you must study. You go in the scripture, you look at it. Is this thing so? Like the Berean Christian says, you search the scriptures to find out if they were so. And in so doing, they get revelation. You will get revelation the same way. It says, my ear has heard of you before, but now I can see you. I can see you. And the Bible says, God turned Job's captivity when he prayed. Spiritual sacrifice instead of the physical sacrifice he was making before. Spiritual sacrifice. But the point here is that tribulation lasted for a very short while when compared to the length of days Job spent on the earth. That's where I'm going. And truly, it's going to happen for every single one of us. And remember, our life doesn't end on earth. We have all eternity. Not one person said amen. We have all eternity, folks. Our life doesn't end here. What you do here is going to determine your eternity. That's for sure. But the point I'm trying to make is that, look, put whatever is necessary. Get that thing, revelation. Get an understanding. Make sure that you're constantly, overcoming tribulation by the word, by prayer, and by the power of the Spirit. So you can be where God wants you to be at the time when he wants you to be there. And partake of the fullness of the fatness of his house. So Job spent how many years now on the earth? After the Bible says in Job 42:16-17 says he died old and full of days without any more recorded tribulation. And this is 140 years after he endured that tribulation. Can you imagine that long life? 140 years of life. I don't know how old he was when he went through tribulation. That doesn't reveal that truth. But 140 years simply by making an adjustment, no longer depend on sight. I see you. I hear you. On ear side, right? We're not dependent on revelation knowledge from God. This is an example for all of us. Amen? Tribulation of worst kind, but he overcame it by the mercy and grace of God and understood that is to see God face to face. And reading James chapter 5, verse 10, talks about the patience of Job. Let's read that before we go to Joseph. Help me a few more minutes. Thank you, Jesus. James 5, 10, 11. Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and patience. Next verse. Behold, we count them happy which endure. How many want to be happy in the Lord? You endure. You have heard of, now this is where I'm going. You have heard of the patient Job and have seen that the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Job is not the only one that can benefit from God's mercy and tenderness. Every one of us, we are supposed to benefit from it. Okay, that's Job. Let's zip through Joseph. Joseph, everybody knows Joseph. God bless Joseph. Was another one who suffered terrible tribulation. And this was at the hand of his own people. His own brothers. We know the story. Genesis 37, they sold him into slavery. They actually wanted to kill him. He was as far as they were concerned. When they put him in that pit, Job was as good as dead. Oh, no, God intervened. God is a great God. God will intervene in your own situation in Jesus' name. He used Reuben to change the hearts of the trajectory of the hearts of his younger brothers. And it had to be Reuben because he was the oldest. He wouldn't have listened to the youngest. But Reuben had that gravitas or that respect among them as the oldest. So he used him to change. Said, let's not kill him. Let's sell him. Hoping that somehow, by the time the slave people come around, he would have found a way to free Joseph. I'm sure that was what was on his mind. But lo and behold, I said, God is a wonderful, marvelous. But he does things with precision. As they were talking about selling him, the Midianites were already on the way. So there was no space to maneuver. So he had to sell their brother. But look what the Lord did. Took him to Egypt as a slave. This is a guy who stayed with his father, who was his father's favorite. Enjoyed his father's love, his company, all his father's riches. Remember the coat of many colors? Favorite child. But God had to humble him for what was coming. So he trekked all the way to Egypt in slave chains. Many people died, but he didn't die. So he gets to Egypt and a nobleman. God is so gracious. By the name of Potiphar comes and we know the whole story. He buys him for the house. Ah, praise God. Ah, they make him ruler of the house. It's okay. I'm fine now. Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Mother. Thank you, Lord. I'm fine now. So he was there for some time, doing very well. God rose to him. Until the devil rose his head again. Brought Job, Potiphar's wife. We know the story. Potiphar's wife tried to seduce him. He refused. Thank God. All this is because he was kept that word of God upon his mouth. He kept the word that his father taught him on his mouth. There was no Bible says Job had no Bible. Papa's sufficient. In that place, there was nothing except what he knew, what he had imbibed in the place of teaching from his father. Hello. There'll be times that when you can't go to the scripture. You cannot do anything. All you have is what's inside your heart. And there's nowhere else. You have to use that. That's what Job did. Throughout the time he was in Potiphar's house. We know the story. He was, jailed because Potiphar's wife, I tried to seduce him and he refused. God bless him. And he's there in jail until God sends the baker and the butler. God is a great master planner. Baker and the butler send them. And so we know this. So he interprets the dreams and then God releases the baker. I'm not saying God because I know it was further than releasing, but God was working his plan out. All the circumstantials were too precise. So when you are going, remember me, oh. If I get me, but I want to get out of this place. God said, you're not ready. I said, 2 full years. By that time, the butler, the baker had been killed. He said, I didn't know any of this, but the butler was the one that, 2 years, he didn't remember him at all. Who did it? God. The work had not been finished, folks. Tribulation worketh patience. Let patience have her perfect work, that ye, Joseph, may be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. He was going to need it to fulfill destiny, like you and I. So it comes to pass that God gives Pharaoh a dream. Glory to God. I love God, He's such a master strategist. He does it so well. And the dream, he cannot interpret. So who does he tell? The butler comes in to make his bed in the morning. He says, I had a dream to do. God, master. I am a dead door. I forgot this boy. Master, there was one man in the prison where you put us in prison. He correctly interpreted my dream. I said, go and bring him. What happened? So God there. God says he stood for Pharaoh at 30 years. 30 years. And he became master of Egypt. That's what I try to say. But what I'm trying to say is that, folks, a short while. 30 years. Take 30 from, my math is very good. Take 30 from 110. How many years is that? 80. 80 years of Ibadan. Just looking after his brethren. Folks, what am I saying? Endure. Because one day, you will enter that situation where it's straight. Straight road to the fullness of Christ, perfection, fullness, and your divine destiny. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, I didn't read this. Okay, all right. But this is it. Soul for slavery, and then let's do one last one before we close. Finally, the man that's another 2 or 3 witnesses. Oh, glory to God. Third witness. Everyone is established. Daniel, a man greatly beloved of God. So greatly beloved, God had him walk all the way from Jerusalem to Babylon. Or you thought he drove in a car or on a donkey. No, he was a slave. He was chained. He was walking in a slave all the way from Jerusalem to Babylon. No easy ride, folks. But God is preparing me for something. Greatly beloved of the Lord. He was a seed of the king, one of the princes of Israel. Privileged childhood until the Babylonians came. Babylon will not come and invade your house. You know, conquered Jerusalem. He was carried captive. He was a prisoner. And not only that, when he got to Babylon, he was castrated. So I said, ha. Yes, now. In those days, it was normal. Slaves were castrated, so they wouldn't go and mate with the king's wife. That's what they were for. All the women in the palace. Castrated. His tribulation had begun. Then there's a test of what they should eat. First one came. He said, just give us pulse. Beans. No gario. Beans. I don't know where that came from. Forgive me. I'm an African. Forgive me. Beans and gari, stable diet. Hallelujah. So he's eating beans. He ate the beans with his friends, and the Bible said the flesh was fatter and fairer than those who ate the junk. Folks, be careful what you put in your tummy. I'm talking to myself too. So your flesh can be fairer and fatter and distinct. I didn't say you're fat too. I said your flesh. So it distinguishes you from those who are eating junk spiritually. Okay, so it says he did not defile himself with the king's meat. And so God gave Dan his friend favor, made their flesh supernaturally fatter and fuller. And so this tribulation was over because, you know, the prince of the eunuchs, you know, allowed him to go. No problem. That's the first tribulation. Then, after a while, doesn't say how long, there was a tribulation of bowing down to Nebuchadnezzar's golden image. Now, Daniel wasn't intimately involved, but he was involved because, you see, these three friends refused to bow, and they were taken away, and they were thrown into the fire. Who was doing the praying? Oh, you think we're praying in the fire? Well, they were praying in the fire, but I believe with all my heart that when Daniel saw that, when he knew that was happening, he was praying in his own courtyard. But what happened? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they could have lost their lives. Now, Daniel's not mentioned specifically, but I know that when he knew that was happening, or knew that was about to happen, he would certainly have prayed with all of his heart for his friends. Amen? And so the three Israelites, we know the story, the three Israelites survived and came unscathed. Hell, their bodies didn't even smell of smoke. Second tribulation. Everybody say, second tribulation is over. Nothing again came until Daniel's lion, the lion's den. Nothing again. In the reign of Darius the king. Daniel 6, 7. The king signs a decree. No one can petition God. These kings were really proud. No one should make a decree to God or man except King Darius for 30 days. Anybody that does it, you throw into the fire. I mean, it's a lion's den. Okay. I love this. He said, when Daniel knew, may God give us supernatural boldness, God. But you can't do that unless you know the God of your or who you're talking to. The God you're raising, you can't do it. He knew the God he was serving. It says, when Daniel knew, Daniel 6:10, when Daniel knew that the decree, the writing was signed, he went to his house, he opened his windows, he opened the altar, he knelt down upon his knees and prayed three times a day. Yeah, but I mean, Larry, he lost some. You don't see me in the afternoon, you see me in the evening. I'm praying. Do your best. I didn't say worse too. Total defiance. Who are you serving? Who are you serving? What can man do to intimidate you if you serve the living God? Truly, they that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Three times a day. And of course, they heard the news. He got you. Oh, we know the story. Daniel was thrown into the den. Of course, the king didn't want that to happen because they were friends. So he saw that he had been cuckolded by the courtiers because of their jealousy, because of Daniel's prosperity in the kingdom. So he was thrown into the den, but the lions couldn't touch him. because another greater lion, the lion of the tribe of Judah, had sent his angels and shut the mouth of his lions. folks, we got to get in some nitty-gritty places before we see God really show up. And he's not going to stop it. He's going to see, what will my son Daniel do? What will my son Pastor Kunle do? May not say pastor, but what will my daughter Rhoda do? Let's watch and see how far he or she or me is willing to go. But I'm going to say, oh, wow, did good. Okay. He opened his windows. He's like, what's your window? Eh? He's standing in the window. He didn't want to do it in the bathroom. He didn't want to do it on the closet. He stood in the window. Shaniki, ma, pray. You say, I shouldn't pray. I'm praying now. Shoot your best shot. Do your best. Do your worst. My God is able. I hope I'm getting through. Folks, so this is it. And so, you know, he sent down. He came out unscathed. And after that, no more tribulation. At the end, until the end of his days. And live a good long life. What am I saying, folks? Tribulation should come, but we overcome it, and it goes for a long time. It may come again if the devil is stupid enough to try you a second time. And sometimes he tries to do it a second time. But there's a bit that he only comes once, because he knows that the fire that came out of that fellow's mouth when he was praying, told me, you know, I'm not going back there. That's true. I mean, the kind of prayer life that you exemplify. If he speaks, the number of angels that will come after me and my cohorts, let me just leave him alone. That one is gone. Sleep. That's where we should be going to. That's where we're going to. Lord, have mercy upon. Many other examples. Tribulations that show that tribulation does not last long. And those will arise if we will, 1, rejoice in hope, 2, be patient consistently in well-doing, and continue instantly in prayer. We overcome every machination of the devil. The enemy will not be able to touch you. He may try, but it will backfire on him. Like it backfired on the enemy in the case of Daniel. Amen? And we will be delivered from every evil work and be preserved unto the heavenly kingdom of God. Let's finish with Job. Job chapter 36, 11. Job 36, 11. Glory to God. Oh, one more. Okay. It says, if we obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and years in pleasure. How many want to spend their days in prosperity and years in pleasure? I want. One last thought. Finally, why does God allow tribulation? He has to allow it. The enemy to attack us, his people, so that he can have a legal basis to shut Satan down forever in the lake of fire. In hell eternally. Take him from the lake of fire, put him in hell. Satan and all his cohorts are supposed to spend eternity in the lake of fire. Hello? But the thing is, for God to be able to do that, he has to allow the enemy to attack us with intent. Intent to kill and destroy. But in all of it, all the tribulations, all the afflictions, all the trials and testing, God is faithful. He will not allow any one of us to be tempted above that which we are above. But with the temptation, we'll make a way of escape, and you and I will be able to bear it. And Lord, give us understanding. Let's pray and ask Lord to help us. Help us. Help me. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Tribulation will come, folks, but it is not going to overcome you. That's why we're to pray and do all these wonderful things we've been taught and are being taught. The blood, the word, the life of God, the power of the Spirit, constant, effectual, fervent, travailing prayer, watching and praying always. It's all been laid out before us, folks. It's all there. Good morning, Jesus. That chart. God bless the fathers for bringing that out. It's all laid out. All we have to do is to pick it up and work it out. God will give us understanding. So I believe you have a song.
You are the peace that God
You are the hope.
You are the hope that
leads me on
and brings me to my knees. For here I find you waiting, and here I find release. Throwing all my heart, I worship, and unto you I sing. Lord, you alone deserve all glory. Lord, you alone deserve all praise. Father, we Lord, you alone deserve all glory. Lord, you alone deserve all praise. Father, we love you.
We love you.
And we worship you this day.
Father, Father, we love you.
Father, we love you. We worship you.
Father, we love you, we love you, we love you, we love you.
Father, we love you. And we worship you.
Heavenly Father, we are so grateful to you. Thank you so much for your mercies upon us in this time. Sharing. Thank you, O Lord God, for making it possible for us, Lord God, to have victory even through tribulation, to remain steadfast, immovable, unshakable, to fulfill divine prophetic destiny. And we thank you so much for your word today, Lord, under the covering of the fathers. We come to ask for fresh help, fresh mercy, fresh grace, under covering to follow the example of Jesus Christ, and to follow the example of our fathers, to overcome all tribulation and trials, and to stand perfect and complete in all of your will, in all of your word, in this day of your showing. Help us rejoice in hope, Lord, to be patient, consistent in tribulation, and continue instant in prayer, so our Lord will obtain the prize of our high calling of the perfection and fullness of Christ. No more being children tossed to and fro by every machination of the devil, by every wind of doctrine, but speaking your truth in love, become like Christ himself in all things, and thereby lay hold upon the promise of the glory and the manifest glory of God and his power. We thank you, Lord God, for you have mercy upon our infirmities. You heal us of infirmities. You strengthen us within and without. You teach us, Lord God, how to walk in this way of the Spirit, and to bring forth the fullness of your divine prophetic purpose. Christ in us, manifest the hope of glory, the hope of this world. We are grateful, Lord. We thank you for the covering of fathers. Let there now be performance. In Jesus' name. Let's pray in tongues concerning this confession. Father, we thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. For your blood. Your light. Power. Upon our wills. Upon our minds. In our circumstances at the door, Rebecca, Romega, forgets and regional heavens, Rebecca, Santa, Sunda, and sufficient measure, Prickapa, Rebecca, and Katanga, in this regard, in Jesus' name. We're going to pray for healing. If you are here, or you're listening online, you have a need in the area of healing and health, simply raise your hand and touch the spot as much as is able. Also, if you need deliverance, and then if you also need the finances, the Lord sent, He sent His word and healed them and delivered them. As we speak before the faith, not under the covering of the fathers, the Lord will send His word, heal you, and deliver you from every destruction. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much, for He said, healing is Your children's bread. We come to thank You, Lord, for these ones whose hands are raised up, wherever they are, both here and outside the auditorium, or whose hands are touching the place where they need a healing touch from You. And Father, we say, in the name which is under the covering of the Father's under authority, we send forth the word of life, the word of healing. We say, we rebuke the divine power. We say that healing and health will take place instantly in your physical bodies now by the power of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. We say, be healed and be whole from the crown of your head to the sole of your feet. We say, you receive your deliverance, freedom from every oppression in the name of Jesus. Lord, makes you whole and hearty and well from the crown of your head to the sole of your feet in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you for those who need your finances. Rebuke the devil for their sake. They will not destroy the fruits of their ground. Their vine will not cast its fruit. But rather now, Lord, we say every need is met according to your mercy, according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. There is no lack. For you, the Lord, are their shepherd. And therefore, they no more want. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we thank you. Lord Jesus, thank you. Let's pray in the spirit concerning these confessions. In Jesus' name, let's share the grace. Grace of faith. So may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us all now and forevermore. In Jesus' name. So surely, only goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives. We shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever in Jesus' name. Is there no weapon that's formed or fashioned against us shall prosper. Every tongue that rises up against the judgment we condemn in Jesus' name. This is our heritage as your servants, O Lord, and our righteousness of you. So we say the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us all now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. And so we anoint us afresh of Enoch, of Abraham, of Joseph, of Moses, of Joshua, of Ruth, of David, of Elisha, of Esther, of Daniel, of Esther, of Paul, and of John, in Jesus' name. Amen. So tell your neighbor, there are no bones broken, because God is on your side and is for you, in Jesus' name. Thank you so much. God bless you.